Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Hitchcock and the Hitman.
Featuring Amy Armstrong, me.
And this is Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Hitchcock and the Hitmen, featuring
the Amy Armstrong.
Yeah,
the Amy Armstrong.
Yeah, this is cool. I'm excited to be here today, get to hang out and get to know more about the group and all this fun stuff. So, thanks for having me over.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've been having a good time already today. Jammed a couple of live acoustic tunes and just having a lot of laughs. But this is always fun for me to kind of, you know, I say it almost every time lately, but it's true. But it's like, it's just cool that I'm kind of still being able to, you know, 3.5 years of doing the show, and I'm still kind of constantly discovering new music all around our town. So, you know, this is no exception. This is really cool to get to meet you all and get to kind of share some of your stories. So, well, tell me, where does Hitchcock and the Hitmen and you end up meeting up with Amy and stuff? When's all this get started?
So Hitchcock and the Hitmen started from Alpha Brewing Company quite organically. I was running an open mic night for a long while on Wednesdays from about 7 to 10 a.m.
Yeah, we should probably, yeah, sorry, I have to interrupt your story, but we should probably, everybody introduce themselves, I guess. I messed up that part.
That's all right. That's okay. Hi, Phil Russo.
I'm Philip Russo. Yeah, I'm Matt Hitchcock. Yeah. You can't see me because this is a podcast, but trust me, I'm Matt Hitchcock.
And I'm Tom Conway, and I'm happy to join the boys and play some music.
And I'm Amy Armstrong, the token girl of a group of stinky boys. So go ahead, Philip, and you've already screwed everything up. Tell it
so
again.
We started an open mic night. We took it over. Matt came and joined us practicing for some songs for a wedding, and we just met kind of organically over some Oasis tunes. You start telling the story. I'm not
all right, so
I'm sorry.
It would have been a couple of years ago. I don't remember the exact year because time keeps getting shorter and shorter. But I went into Alpha Brewing Company. There was an open mic going on, and I was practicing for some wedding material. Somebody hired me to sing at their wedding, and I didn't really have a whole lot of live experience. So run into this guy, Phil Russo. He was running the open mic at the time. We started playing some songs together, just bonded over a couple party tunes, some Oasis songs and stuff like that. We had a good laugh doing that. Then
there was a Wednesday night that you posted on Facebook that you were playing, and you said, "Come on down."
Oh, yeah?
Your mom came down.
Oh, okay.
And I figured, well, if your mom's going to be there, I knew Philip's dad really well. We went to university together in the 70s, and we were in a band called the Cicero Cowboy Quartet. So I was in a band with his dad, and unfortunately his dad passed away several years ago, and I went down to support, just come down and listen to him play and be in the audience and clap, and I really had not heard Philip play the guitar publicly, and I was wowed. I was like, he can shred the guitar, he's got guitar chops and guitar skills, and I sat there in awe and just in admiration as well. And to see the chip off the block of his dad, you know, seeing him carry it on another generation, the music. And his mom's quite an entertainer as well. She ran a dance studio in St. Charles for generations. And so Philip's been tap dancing since he was 3 years old. And so the music was in his blood. And I was inspired to take my guitar out of mothballs, which was sitting, oh really, I had an old Guild from the 70s, which was all chipped up and stripped from the years of playing. But I hadn't played for many years, at least 15. I'd had it in the closet. Bring it out for holidays and such. And then Philip said, well, bring your guitar next week. And I think I skipped a week because I was like, man, I suck, I'm no good anymore at this. And started practicing more, and then kind of got the hook again. And I came down to a Wednesday night and played a set, some old John Prine, some old Simon Garfunkel and James Taylor, and I was satisfied, got my Music Jones on again, and then Philip played his set, and then Philip took off to tap dance with Tap Dogs, and he asked me if I could cover the open mic for the 3 months he was in Asia on tour, and I did, and one night Matt comes in with his wife. And I didn't know them from Adam separately, so I met them independently at Philip. And I said, you know, I dedicated a song to him, a little love song. I think it was a Seekers song from the 50s. Mm-hmm. That went over well. And then we talked a little bit. And then Philip came back from tour, and we just all three would take turns on the open mic. And then, I don't know, we just sat in with a song or two.
I think it was Matt's suggestion, though, of like,
it was. That's why we're Hitchcock.
I got a gig at the Irish Corner Pub. That's
right.
And
you
I need
a solo gig, right?
Yeah, I got a solo gig, and they were really wanting a band in there. They really wanted a band. So they said, "Hey, if you're going to be playing on a Friday night, you got to have a band," you know. And I was like, "Okay, well, I need a band." Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, you gotta help me out. I got a gig for it, but I need you guys to play.
Right.
And so we all rolled in there, and
sounds like the opening to Blues Brothers, man.
Truly, yeah. in quite a way. And we each bring something different dynamic. I'm a rhythm guitarist from way back. I treat my guitar like a drum, and Philip has got his chops, his lead chops, and Matt's got a little of both, a lot of both.
Yeah, definitely both.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started meeting every Sunday morning at noon.
Having some coffee, some
flat oven pizza.
Yeah.
And we started going over, put a little set list together.
Built like a 4-hour set list to just maintain covers. And
And then I brought in Amy.
The secret sauce.
That just sounds wrong. I'm the secret sauce?
The
oh,
secret,
that's great.
You're the secret all weapon.
Right. No, that means I'm like ketchup and Thousand Island recipe, right?
I'll introduce Amy Armstrong. So I was sitting in my condo playing guitar on a Monday night. It was rainy, it was cold, it was October. And I had seen a post for the Monocle, a new bar opened up in the Grove. And I said, you know, you're not going to get out there sitting on your ass. So I grabbed my guitar, I went down, didn't know a soul, sat down with my amp.
Yeah, and I had only done like there was only like two I had done. I was trying to get people into this new club right. in the Grove, and then I saw Tom, and so I was basically buying people drinks to get them to stay.
Wait a minute. So I walk in, I sit down. No. I play my two or three songs, okay? I'm doing my little thing, and there was a lineup, and there were people there waiting to get on the open mic. I play my two or three songs, and then Amy comes over, and she's going to buy me a drink. And I said, well, that's awfully polite. I mean, you know, awfully nice. And I think, at the time, that Amy's the bar hag. You know, that lady that runs the bar.
Oh, that's great. Okay? So wait, I'm secret sauce, and I'm a hag. These are my first impressions.
I have no idea. I don't know who she is. This is lady buying me a drink at the bar. Okay, swell. And then Amy gets up and sings a song.
And you realize I should be buying her a damn drink.
Has the voice of an angel. She
and the mouth of a sailor.
Well, that's true, too. That is true, also. But her voice moved me to tears. It was so beautiful.
That means you got a chubby. That's right.
Well, that too. Well, it's because you pressed your breast against me.
Well, listen, it's a small bar, okay? You have to, like, move it. I'm a big girl.
My arm knows when a breast is up there. I know.
You know, I'm a 6-foot-tall big girl. Everywhere I go, I'm like, oops, sorry.
No,
way,
it's
so.
True, it's true.
But no,
I was enamored immediately. I will say that. I was enamored.
I came back and I was actually just going to run this club for a while and then just go back and play it and then go back to Chicago. And, you know, I was ready to leave Missouri. And then a guy that I knew saw a show and said, do you want to try out the Chase Park Plaza? And I said, okay. And I didn't know it was such an iconic and wonderful hotel in St. Louis in the Central West End. And so I tried out. You know, I'll never forget it. It was like four guys in suits and a woman that's like the historian there, and her name was Jeannie, and they were all watching me, and I'm singing, and you know, you get done, and you're expecting something, and you're like, yeah, and they're just nothing, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay. So I was like, well, thank you very much, and then 2 days later, they called, they were like, no, we want you, when can you, you know, come and perform here? Well, that was in November of last year, and I said, April, and they're like, what? Because I run a club, you know, I used to perform at this club in Puerto Vallarta, now I run it. You know, I book all the entertainment.
You've been there 12 years, right? 13,
no,
14?
No, 14. 14 years. So I said April, and they kind of looked at me really weird. And I was like, well, if it doesn't work out, it's cool. But they actually called me from Mexico and said, do you still want to do this? I said, yeah. They said, we want to do just something different. We want to have a band one night, maybe have other stuff, you know. So I asked the boys, because we always just sit around and be silly and play sometimes at Tom's place, at Alpha. Mm-hmm. I go and see him. So I said, why don't we all play together? And that's how it all started. So in a way, you know, we kind of went to a pretty, I think, pretty incredible place right away. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we struggled and then we moved our way up to Chase. It was like, you want to play at Chase? And we were all like, oh my God, really? Like, holy crap, man. You know, it was, and it's funny because now when you tell people, It's a wonderful thing to say that you work at the Chase. Sure. When you say you work at the Chase, everybody's like, oh,
wow.
It's a beautiful hotel. It's really a great
hotel.
I got to mention that Amy and her career, Amy's been singing for 25 years professionally. And in your career, you've done over 85 cruises, am I right?
Well, like 75.
80, 70, yeah. 75, 80.
Well, I've traveled to like 30 different countries, and I've put out 5 CDs with another performer that I've been with for a long time, Freddie Allen. He's a piano player. But I love to play with all different people. I like to go different places and find musicians and just find a groove, and we just have a good time. And but the thing I loved about the boys when we were all playing together, it was for fun, but it still we're getting paid, but it was so fun.
Right.
Like even our rehearsals, it wasn't work. Right. You know, like when we all show up, we were all relieved to be here. You know, God, I'm so happy I get to rehearse with you guys because it's 2 or 3 hours just enjoying music and each other.
It goes fast. We're like, oh, shoot, it's midnight.
Telling jokes.
We got to shut it down.
You know, and we all are talented in different ways, but I think when we all get together, the good thing about having 4 generations is just the plethora of music that you can play. And I love that we've never, anybody has an idea, we're never like, no, you know, but everybody has different things they excel at. And now the boys are writing original tunes, and we're playing places where people really dig our music. Mm-hmm. And we do get a really transient group of people that come and see us. besides the residents that live there. So that's mm-hmm. a good thing. I've only been in Missouri now a couple of years. I lived 22 years in Chicago. So I did a lot of stuff in Chicago. You know, I worked many clubs down there. I played with Buddy Guy. I played with, you know, I just done all kinds of stuff when I was there. So when I moved to Missouri, I was nervous. I thought, is anybody going to know who I am? Is anybody going to, you know, give a crap, you know, like of who I am? But now that we've been doing this at the Chase and stuff, it's really opened up a lot of venues for us. And we want to do a CD, definitely, mm-hmm. you know, with our music. And I like it. I think it's feel-good music. I don't think it's not just originals. You're talking 60s, 70s and stuff that's current that people love to sing to. They'll turn and look at us because they're like, wow, you're doing that one? You know, we're very eclectic with our music.
And we like to arrange the Beatles. So we have a nice arrangement of Eleanor Rigby. We have a nice arrangement of Here Comes the Sun. We can bust out. What are the other Beatles?
We do
a
Hard Day's Night.
Well, yeah, and Philip, you know, also is a teacher at the School of Rock, so he's...
True that.
He's very talented. When we first started working together, I was nervous because I felt like, am I this old lady that he's going to be like, what the hell are we going to sing together? No, but we, like, right away connected, and I do solo stuff with Philip as well, and we've traveled a little bit. Had some really good gigs together.
Some lobster in Maine.
I mean, we were in Algonquin, Maine, and we did a place called the Front Porch. They loved us there.
Sold out, I believe.
We sold out, yeah, every night that we were there. So I know we have something that we're not going to give up. Definitely, this is going to keep going.
I mean, I did a gig in Denver last month. We had a blast. They loved us.
My whole thing is, as long as we can get out there. I'm very open with my music. I mean, I'm not going to covet anything. I don't. If you want to be a part of this, let's be a part of it. If you want to gig somewhere where I've been, I'll give you the information. I'm very open about all that because I think it comes back to you. I really believe in karma. So I think any musician should realize that if someone does their music or if someone, that's a compliment. It's not trying to take away from you at all. It's actually an incredible compliment. And we've established something where, you know, we do a lot of cool covers, but now the guys are doing more original stuff like the Morning Bird's Lament that we just did. That was Matt's song, and it's nice that we've gotten to that point. Because as a band, sometimes that's what you first do. You start with covers, you know, you get comfortable with each other, and then I feel like, then it's like, oh, we're so comfortable, now let's start doing our own music and stuff like that, and take from these other songs that we've done.
You gotta come out and hear us. You gotta hear Philip's version of The Reaper. Great song. Easy, simple, good story.
Nice bluesy.
Yeah. What's the other one that I like of yours? The other two.
I got My Sweet Love. This is one I've written recently.
Really cool.
And then Baby Don't Give Me the Baby Don't Give Me the Blues. But I like, it's kind of fun because the songwriting thing was also, we kind of formed as a band organically, but the songwriting kind of came about it organically as well. And it's neat because I'll come to the guys with a song that's, you know, 90% done, you know, and all of a sudden Phil will say, hey, why don't we do this? And then Amy say, oh, well, let's change the vocals a little bit here on that. And Tom will come in with some finger picking that I didn't think about. And then all of a sudden we've got
a product.
You start with what you thought was a completed song. And then all of a sudden it blossoms into this completely different thing. And so it's kind of fun for me.
And I like watching the audience watch us. I'm a participant observer from way back. And I'll put myself in the corner of the room and let that program run while I'm watching us perform. And I love watching people react to Amy's voice, react to Philip's guitar and our group songs. Mm-hmm. And every night, you never know when it's going to happen or what song it's going to be, but we touch souls. We actually, people will stop in their tracks, turn around, grab their phones, start recording, and they were just walking in a corridor. Because the bar at the sidecar bar where Amy plays at the Chase on Friday, Saturday nights, traffic's going by. You got elevators, you got a movie theater, you got a bar in the lobby, you got people coming in and out of the reception.
Well, also, you know, Philip has these great riffs that he does on a lot of songs, and he ends songs very differently. It's not just, you know, I get into his music a lot, and so it helps me when I'm singing.
But my point is that every night we peak and we find a song that's just magic, that's Woodstock, that's just it happens. And I'd say when we go out, when we're packing the car and loading the equipment, I'd say, you watch tonight, we're going to touch someone's soul and we're going to touch their heart, touch their core, and we're going to reach a point in music organically that's just perfection. And it's the only thing that makes sense to me anymore in this crazy world is music. It's the only thing that ties us all together, no matter where you're from, your background, your age, your work experience, your life experience.
For sure.
I love me some music, man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool that, you know, like you're saying, you mentioned earlier, all very different age group, but it's kind of crazy that we come together and we bond over all this different music, and you're able to pull off so much different stuff. And, like, who all kind of bring, you know, hey, maybe let's try this song, or do you guys... How's that process between choosing covers and stuff?
Songs, I mean, I'm a jazz trained musician, so Amy and I connect over like those old standards and all that kind of stuff.
My Funny Valentine.
Yeah, My Funny Valentine. We do a sick cover of that. But really, it just comes from I like to arrange a lot of the songs. So even if it's like a Beatles tune or whatever, like we did come together, we play it a little bit differently. It's more stripped down. It's more acoustic, and I like to have Tom doing the bassy notes, Matt getting like the middle ground, and I'll take the higher voicing and. We're three guitars, but you see us live, and it's like, holy shit, that sounds full.
Yeah,
it should sound empty. Why are you guys only three guitars? It's like, well, take a listen, and you'll hear the intricacies in the small notes and the little things that matter.
I never really thought that three acoustic guitars could sound like that. Mm. You know, I was used to band format, which is, you know, you got drums, a bass, a guitar, a keyboard, you know, all that kind of stuff, and...
Harvest moon.
like the sound that we have because it is different. And people notice it. Even on stage, they'll like see us and they're like, oh, wow, like three acoustics and a chick singing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't think they expect it when they hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing I notice. Like, people really do, like, whoa, this is great. And they stay. It's not like they just listen to one song and leave.
Yeah.
You know, in this world of Instagram and Insta this and, you know, it's 30 seconds of this and a minute of this, it's hard to grab people for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get people to stay because...
And see the same faces next week.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, because people will come in there again and... Mm-hmm.
Good old Dell in the Irish corner.
Yeah, yeah, guys. And like, wow, they came in to see us. You know, they gave us...
And Amy's jeweler, Dave, you know, Miss Benny
yeah.
Evo.
Yeah.
And the tambourine lady. We had to take the tambourine away from her one night. The gym
well,
got
we
into
let
it.
Some we people. We have a tambourine and we let some people play, and then no, but they love it. That's cool.
It's
like, listen, to get other people into it is a big thing too, because usually people don't want to engage you. Sometimes or they're scared, or so it's nice, I think, to have instruments out there. Although, when people drink a little bit, you're like, all right, well, you got to keep the beat, man. You got to keep the beat. But we enjoy it, and we enjoy when people sing along. Like, I never am that person that says don't participate. I love it when people get up and dance.
Pull your phone out. Absolutely.
You know, I feel like that's the hugest compliment when you're singing a song like Harvest Moon and someone gets up and they start dancing together. You know, like a couple get up and dance. I think
tell them about
really
that pink
great.
Song we did that you downloaded. We
oh, what about us? What
that's,
about
that's
us?
That's one of Amy's suggestions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand new Pink song. We thought, well, let's try it on guitar and see how it sounds, you know, with us. And we did it at rehearsal. And we said, well, let's record it for fun. And we did. And then we got like almost 5,000 hits from it. Mm-hmm. So I knew that if people like that are watching us, you know, that's why we got to keep doing what we're doing.
Sure. I saw this group... P-Lander Z opened up for Here Come the Mummies one night over at Del Mar Hall.
Mm-hmm.
One of the craziest live shows I've ever seen. Like they were like, they look like Power Rangers or something on stage. They all have like different, very vibrant colored outfits and they all this stuff. But one of the favorite parts, like the I don't know if they end up throwing out like all these instruments on into the audience. Like most of them were like just like kind of like. Almost like dog bowls or whatever, like with the drumsticks.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but like, so like everybody's like got like
cowbells.
Yeah,
and who knows what?
Yeah, everybody's like. So he parted the audience and like everybody's got an instrument. Everybody starts playing along. Anyway, it was like so much fun just to be a part of that. I mean, like the music wasn't great, but just the experience of everybody playing music
sure,
together and
right,
all this
right.
stuff. Like it was really quite the show. And like it was so again with your. Having a tambourine or whatever. It's just fun to be a part of it and experience that night and stuff.
I know in music school that's what they had. This woman had a Rubbermaid tub.
Yeah.
And she had like, you know, all different little instruments and you had to get up there quick because the first things that would go would be the tambourine and the triangle.
Right.
And then everything else was like the wooden blocks and you're like, oh, crap. You know, so you always wanted to get in line first. And I always thought about that. Like, it was nice to have that. And there's something about live music that just isn't the same as if you hear it any, you know, whatever CD, even if it's live, there's just, you go to a place to see live music, it hits you in a certain way.
Yeah.
More than if you're listening to something on the radio, more if you're, you know.
You hear the word vibe, but it really is a vibe in the room. You pick
sure.
it up and it waves. You know, the vibe comes in waves, but we really create it.
And I think, though, we have a good energy, too, because we're not really pretentious people.
No,
a lot of
times nice
musicians can sometimes...
It's about the music.
Yeah,
some
people
us.
Think of musicians either because they're socially awkward or whatever they can think of them. Maybe.
Well, we're all socially awkward, but I mean, let's be serious. Come on, man.
We're having so much fun up there that it's
right.
almost transcendent. People
True.
Feel that yeah. that
well,
energy. And
I know as a fan, like I'm at a show and I can see that they're up there smiling and having a great time, like. It's infectious, you know. It's like you want to have a good time with them. So, it's like,
yeah.
But yeah, I've been to shows where people are up there and they just kind of look like they're going through the motions, you know. Like I don't want to be here, and like, well,
yeah.
You know,
right.
So.
Or they're really into themselves, and I used to call that musical masturbation because the thing is, it's not about. Don't get me wrong, you get something out of it,
yeah.
But you're giving to the audience.
That's
what you're
correct.
Supposed to do, and if you don't do that, you cut off. This energy, this vibe that you're talking about. So why wouldn't you do that? Like, when we're performing, I'm always looking at the guys, we're smiling, we're getting into it, we're laughing about stuff. You know, and that to me is the best part of it. When you can feel so good after a gig, like it's a natural high, bigger than any drug or beer or anything. And, you know, and I've never felt that any other way than when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
I've definitely been brought to emotions a few times on our songs.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Amy moves me all the time.
With what we pick, we choose songs that, like, the audience is, of course, we're going to enjoy playing, but, like, do you think people would enjoy this? Are they going to sing along with this? And, again, I'm from the 90s, Matt's from the 80s or whatever.
That's right.
And then we've got Reagan. We've got people that are from all over that.
I'm from the 80s, but the early 80s.
We had songs that everybody
and
loved.
Methuselah, he's from...
It's like 60s, yeah. I grew up just in time to miss the boat. I was a hippie. Let's see, so 1970, I was 13 years old. So I was old enough to want to be a hippie, but my mother was still cutting my hair. So I really couldn't. But I did buy bell bottoms by Gubby.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that we have all these different generations. To me, it also helps you as a musician because you can get stuck in your generation. A lot of people do. You know, and I've heard this from people, oh, there's no other music except this music. It's like, no, open yourself up to it and you'll see that you'll enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. Honey, the 80s were my music. I love it. I used to buy the song lyrics books and go through it. Casey Kasem was a big thing in my... I remember recording off of my ghetto blaster, you know, on a tape cassette. Google it, young people, if you don't know about it. You know, I mean, I had a lot of singles. I had all that. So I get it. But now it's fun because I learn so much from everybody in this group. And it helps me musically to keep loving what I do.
I didn't think I'd be playing Journey. Let's face it. Like, what am I playing? Guns N' Roses? Are you kidding me? I'll be playing Guns N' Roses.
But if you look at the music we're writing now, too, it's funny because, well, Morning Bird, for example, that's straight out of a 1930s. I don't know where that came
old
from.
Old timey. Changes of 5/7.
It's like the 40s, but it's also like postmodern jukebox. But it also has a little bit of John Prine in it. To me, it also has, you know, that's what I love about that song.
And who has never been hungover?
Everybody.
The Morning Bird. My mother used to say, the bird that sings in the morning gets eaten by the cat.
You don't want to hear it.
My other one is, good morning, let's not argue about it.
Yeah.
don't sing for me, because I drank too much last night, because I drank too much last night. Oh, I drank too much last night. I'm trying to sleep.
Well, like you also kind of talking about being able to kind of do all this different stuff, being in the different music, and I mean, I think that's pretty clear today when you did Come Together from the 60s to even also doing Royals, which is...
Exactly.
2010.
Which it was cool to hear kind of a different take on it. Like, I don't know that I've heard a lot of different versions of Royals. My friends even do like a heavy metal, like, scream version of it, and it was pretty wild. But hearing a stripped down... Mm-hmm. acoustic version with three guitars and
I'm glad you say stripped down. I almost thought you would say stripper version.
You know, we're not opposed to playing a strip club.
Yeah, right. But how do you work on finding that arrangement of it? How's that come about? Like,
I actually arranged that a few years ago.
Yeah.
And again, it was one of those things we got together, and I'd played that solo for a long time. Mm-hmm. People seemed to like it, and I dug the tune. I was trying to, when I started out playing solo stuff, I played the songs that I wanted to play, and then, you know, I was probably a little too into the tunes I were playing. Like, listen to it, you jerks, the song's great. But they didn't care about it, so I was like, alright, let me try to pick some more tunes that an audience is going to enjoy, but I'll also enjoy playing too. So I kind of just made a little arrangement that was kind of country-ish, but more funky as well. It has a little funk to it, but when we started getting together, I was like, alright, Amy, here you go, you're going to blow the roof off of this.
Well, I love it. He gives me this beat, right? And he gives me... What I love is right away, I hook into it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, when I feel the groove, it just, it goes. And that's the best part about it. What I love about Philip's arrangements are, I never feel like, oh, this is complicated. I'm always like, got it. Like, I connect right away with it.
As my mother said, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, let's be serious. Like, even the song Harvest Moon, it's a simple song, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The lyrics are simple, but they're beautiful. You don't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be, you know, all this major stuff and all these words coming out if you don't want it to. But what I love about your arrangements is you feel it right away. And that's what I need to emotionally connect to it mm-hmm. to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried other stuff that doesn't work out. We know right away in rehearsal. We'll run a piece once or twice, and we know right away, like, oh, yeah, and we want to keep playing it. Or we're like, nah, and we just get rid of it.
And Amy works the room really well. So we have a set list, but we don't know what song's coming up next. And at first that was a challenge for us because the learning curve was huge. Amy has this huge encyclopedia of songs over her 25-year career. And we know what we know. But when you mix them all together, the audience, she filled the room. She'll feel the room, feel what song should be right next. And keep
it moving.
Well, yeah,
I mean, we have a set
slow.
List, but I don't know if I really stick to it because you know, you have to look at the room.
Right.
And I've noticed mm-hmm. that there's times where I've changed all the songs
mm-hmm.
because I see who we're dealing with. And
mm-hmm.
I think that you have to stay fresh with that. And I know it was hard at first, guys. I'd yell out certain songs, and they're like, oh, shit. And then they'd even say, like, we're supposed to have a set list, Jamie. But...
What caper is this? What key is this?
Yeah. You know, but now you guys are good with it. I mean,
we're totally good with it.
In
totally.
The beginning, I think I freaked him out, but I even said, like, I don't want to make this list, and then I get there, and I'm like, oh, this crowd is very different.
Right, we'll go from playing Raindrops Are Falling on My Head...
It's a sweet child of mine.
It's a sweet child of mine. To, you know, and we just never know. And it's exciting that way for us as performers. But also to feel the room. Remember the afternoon we played, the Sunday afternoon at Biddy's place?
Well, I always wanted to have music where within 2 or 3 hours, if you had people, I mean diversity, I'm talking like younger to older, different ethnicities, all that. But they could all hook into at least a song or two.
Right.
From your 2 or 3 sets that you did. I feel like that's a win.
Right.
Because you've hooked somebody with one song and you hook somebody else another song. Then they want to hear all the different stuff.
Right.
You got to hook them with the song first, though, because they'll lose interest.
Right.
So to make it really eclectic, to me, was the perfect mix. And now you guys are used to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you're
yeah.
used to
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
or
right.
Maybe
yeah,
they're
yeah,
just
yeah.
putting up with me. I don't know.
But. I'll say we played last Thursday at the Chase Club. And I was whipped. I had a full day of work. We all have day jobs, so I had a full day of work. And heavily medicated, as I recall, getting in there. But once we started playing, the first break came on. And I was like, you know, I really don't want to take a break. Who's the first one back up on stage after break?
You are.
I am. So I'm like, let's get it. Let's get after
yeah.
it. Man. We're ready, you know. We can work the crowd later.
Sure.
And Amy does that too. On breaks, Amy doesn't take a break.
Well,
she
I talk
out.
To everybody because I
no,
see
you
like,
do
you what do you want to hear? You know, like how you guys doing tonight? Like, you know, I feel that that's been lost. I think that there's, you know, social interaction with people is so hard nowadays. Everybody's on their iPhones and their iPads, and I get it. You know, I'm on it too. I get it. It's my job. I get gigs from doing that. I understand, but it's still nice to talk to people. And when you talk to people, they're almost surprised because they're used to maybe, you know, I know some bands or some people just go
detached.
Up in the corner by themselves or, and I always said, no, I want to talk to the audience, see if they like it. What, you know, artists would you like to hear in the next set? Because then it keeps them there too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it makes them come back too, because you develop that relationship, that personal experience, you know.
Right.
And they'll have their favorite song.
Yeah.
They'll say, hey, will you play that song for us again? Will you play that song
for
us?
We like your version better.
Yeah.
That's
I've heard
the
that
coolest
a lot.
Thing
I've
to hear.
I've heard that a lot.
When people say they like our version better or they've
Lights.
Downloaded a song that they heard us do
mm-hmm.
and a cover, and then they'll be like, oh, we like your version. That's when I knew we've got to make a CD.
Well,
yeah.
What did they say? You got a couple to download some Radiohead? Some 70-year-old couple?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
It's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, like, the best part
the
is
story.
When
yeah.
you get, well, the first thing is they listened to it and they loved it, you know, and acoustically in the Chase. And this was when it was first built. The acoustics in the lobby area that we play in are incredible. They're a singer's dream. Because you could just, it fills up the whole lobby area, down the hallway.
All the hallways.
It's just so cool to hear. Because people say, like, I heard you from the parking lot. I'm like, really? Like, it's nuts to me. And
she drops her mic.
We sang this song, Creepin', and people didn't know what it was. And then when I hit the high note, when I'm singing it, I drop my microphone. I just let, you know, the acoustics go in the room. And, you know, these people that didn't know this song, like I said, they downloaded it. But they also were like, it was funny because the one woman comes up to me. She's like, well, I love that song, Creep, but you are not a weirdo. And I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel like it, though. It's okay. You know, but it's... It's a gift, man, to have that. And
Philip's rendition on a guitar. Yeah. I've been trying to cover it. I can't catch him.
The two of you guys doing that song is one of beautiful things ever. And it really is something to see. You really have to see it live.
I don't think anybody in that place, I never expect to get a standing ovation in a little bar area. Everybody's having some drinks and people just stand up. We were both like surprised.
Oh, no, it's...
When we started playing that song, that's when I would get choked up because people would start reacting. I'm like, holy shit, focus, play, chords.
Honest to God, that's my participant observer again. I observe and I watch people dragging their luggage. They're walking to the elevators, literally stopping their tracks, turn around and jaw to the floor.
Yeah, they got an Uber outside. They don't care.
They don't care.
One of the first times we sang it, we ended the song and there was this long pause. And we both looked at each other. Remember, Philip? Like,
oh god!
Like, is this gonna be a good or bad reaction? Oh god! And then it was like, what? It was like crazy. And that's when we both like. I think it was like a fist bump. And it was like, oh my god, this song rocks!
The tip jar had $380 in it. It was wonderful.
And like, let's just say, there's a bunch of songs that like. There's one I'm not a huge fan of, Wagon Wheel, but like our version of Wagon Wheel. It's amazing. The harmonies are wonderful. Yeah. And one of my favorite memories is that, you remember that little girl?
Oh, yeah.
That sang with us?
Stella. There's a little 8-year-old girl that was watching us, and she said after that, like, on the break, she's like, do you know the song Wagon Wheel? Because my dad taught it to me, and I was like, well, yeah, if you want to sing it, let's do it.
So I brought her up.
And I brought her up on stage, and she sang it with us, and we had so much fun. And she sang it. I mean, she grabbed the microphone out of my hand. She had no qualms about it. And
give me that.
Yeah, and afterwards I bought her a Shirley Temple. I'm like, shit, if she's famous later, maybe she'll remember the old lady that gave her a chance when she was 8 years old. But never in my wildest dreams would kids would react to what we do.
A lot of little kids. How about the twins that were getting medical work done from Australia?
They were there for the hospitals. Just a mind blower how music just gets... And I'll tell you this, kids... There's no bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, kids will tell you if you're good or bad.
Right.
Yeah. And to see kids that, are, you know, because they, you know, little kids, and all of a sudden they're just, like, frozen and watching you. Mm-hmm. It's just a cool feeling, and I never thought I'd have that, because I usually play for adults only. Mm-hmm. You know, I do, like, when they say, Mava Sailor, like, I'm a comedian, too, so I can get kind of dirty. And even when they said, do you want to play in the sidecar, and then one guy's like, you have to be G-rated. There's families. And I got a little nervous, but now I really dig it.
Yeah.
I really do, that people can bring their family to see us, or they can have a romantic night together.
I got to throw back to the 60s again. It is a love fest. When we play, you feel the love between us, first of all, because, we're not about egos. We're about the music. And then when people come see it, they want to join in. They want to remember it. They will throw 20s in the tip jar because they want that memory. They want to say, I experienced this. I want to remember this. Mm-hmm. And... I like creating that. It's creating art in the moment. Yeah. And who gets to do that every day?
Yeah.
Well, think about St. Louis when you're talking about all these different bands and people. You know, The Chase, you look back in time, and Frank Sinatra played there, Liberace, Sammy Davis Jr., Sophie Tucker, just all these iconic performers that were there. And to say that you don't feel the vibe of that would be a lie.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because don't you guys feel it? I feel it.
Yeah, I do, for sure.
The history of that place is... It's been such a wonderful summer going there every Thursday night.
It really has.
And play there. But
well, talking about Chase Club, you can come out on September 28th, Thursday night, Chase Club Plaza, 8 to 11, and see Hitchcock and the Hitmen featuring Amy Armstrong.
Woohoo!
And follow along on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you guys, this would be, the, I guess you said last for the season, this show, right?
Sorry, yeah, and then I have to go to Puerto Vallarta. Yeah.
Poor thing.
To the Paul Cabaret Bar. Yeah. Hey, everybody, just to say, it's good. If it's nice day in Missouri,
yeah,
come down to Puerto Vallarta, yeah, man. You'll enjoy Mexico very much.
Airfares are
very good time.
And the dollar, don't forget, you know.
20 pesos to the dollar, man. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. Dinner for 10, it'll cost you 11 bucks, you know. It'll be good. It'll be ample.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then also, go and see these guys at the Irish Corner Pub.
Yep. We'll post on our Facebook page our dates at the Corner Pub. Yes. We play there regularly.
Yeah.
It's a great pub on the...
go there. Go say hi to Biddy. She'll do a shot with you. She's awesome.
And Derek over at Alpha. God bless Derek. He's got a new place opening.
Alpha 2. It's off Morgan Ford, I think. Opening up around January, I believe.
Yeah.
That's where we got started. So we
And Filer. Filer and Morgan Ford. Yeah. Filer and Morgan Ford.
We're in there every few Wednesdays, and we might have some things coming up more frequent at the Irish Corner. So,
yeah,
things
stay
are
tuned.
In the works. So stay tuned
awesome.
To our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, like you're saying, hopefully we can get to hopefully recording soon. Maybe get a new, maybe get a record together. Or
I
something.
Would love that.
Yeah.
And Shane, if you know any good recording studios,
you know anybody
for wayward musicians?
We're interviewing right now. We're looking for a decent place.
I might know some people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I would like to. I mean, Morning Bird sounded great. I'd love to hear some more original stuff too, along with maybe even cover cut some of these covers on there, because it's fun too to, like you're saying, you guys do a different take on it. It's fun to hear some different arrangements of these, and it, also I love, you know, even mentioning Creep, like hearing the Opposite Sex take a song on, you know, like hearing what that brings to the song compared to what the original recording of it.
Too,
so it's always fun to me to hear somebody else's take on that.
I've played me some Carole King.
Yeah.
And I love doing Tapestry, and people go, "You sing Tapestry?" Yeah, really hot. It's a great song.
Yeah. But get involved. Keep an eye out for some more dates and maybe some new music coming soon. And a lot of exciting things going on. But I appreciate you all hanging out.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.